I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Israel is considering flooding the tunnel network, at least of northern Gaza, with seawater from the Mediterranean Sea. They have reportedly placed five large pumps near the Shati camp in the northern part of Gaza, and they're waiting to see if they'll actually move forward with this plan. But it is significant to discuss because if they do this, it would destroy the tunnel network, but it also risks damaging significant infrastructure across Gaza and possibly damaging the fresh water that civilians use to drink there. With that said, Israeli forces still operating in the northern part of the strip. They say they were able to target Hamas's general security headquarters overnight near the Jabalia neighborhood. Soldiers from two separate units locating rockets and weapons in this area before calling in airstrikes. Israel is expected to complete offensive operations in northern Gaza in the coming weeks. Also in recent hours, Israel ramped up its campaign against southern Gaza. Their efforts focused around the city of Khan Yunis, where residents say last night's airstrike were some of the heaviest since the war began.
So the peace talks, of course, still not working. There is no ceasefire, and there's not going to be a ceasefire. There's not going to be a pause in fighting unless more hostages are released. And the bottom line is Israel is not going to stop going after the Hamas terrorist. That was Trey Yinks for Fox News reporting on something we'd suggested the other day that might be considered, and that would be pumping water from the Mediterranean into these tunnels. But keep in mind, many hostages might still be held inside the same tunnels, so they will also be at risk if flooding starts. But we're at a point now that Israel is going to move forward and that's showing no signs of easing up. And there's another reason that Hamas might not be releasing more female hostages. I'll explain in a moment. First of all, thanks for joining us again. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, for you from 6 to 8 p.m. on Larry Connors USA. And we stream video while on the air at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. You miss anything, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. You can get audio and or video. Watch, listen at your pleasure, share with others. A note to you for tomorrow. Because of the Republican debate, we are carrying it starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. So tomorrow there will be only 1 hour of Larry Connors USA. All right, back to the situation. Trey Yinks reporting about flooding the tunnels, doing everything they can to begin to get some of these people out, and that being the Hamas terrorist. But, of course, we know without doubt there are probably hostages also inside those tunnels, and we also know without doubt that many Palestinian civilians are being held there because Hamas is going to use them as shields against the Israeli forces. And now the U.S. is stating that it believes our intel suggesting Hamas is refusing to release more female hostages because they're trying to cover up the atrocities. Of those that have been released, some of them have told horrifying stories of what happened to them before they were taken away. And they also told horrifying stories of other women who were never left alone until they were dead. So maybe Hamas has decided we don't need more of those stories because they don't make us look good. Well, I don't know. In the minds and the thought process of some of the progressives, as we showed you yesterday, Congresswoman Yaya Paul of Washington, well, you can't talk about the rape and the brutality to those women without looking at what Israel's doing to the entire Gaza Strip. The hell we can't. And how can you possibly accept what Hamas did? She will tell you, I condemn it. But She adds that, but look at what Israel is doing. This mindset of the progressive left is so distorted, warped, satanic in so many ways. Jake Sullivan, the White House security advisor, says, watching what's happening with some of the merchant ships and the Houthi rebels firing upon them and endangering U.S. Navy vessels in the area, maybe it's the time to acknowledge who's responsible.
We have every reason to believe that these attacks, while they were launched by the Houthis in Yemen, were fully enabled by Iran. We are in talks with other countries about a maritime task force of sorts involving the ships from partner nations alongside the United States in ensuring safe passage of ships in the Red Sea.
I'm delighted to hear Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor to the President, finally mention the word Iran associated with proxy activity in the region. They've avoided using that word for all of those attacks that have been committed against U.S. bases by Iranian proxies from Iraq and from Syria. And now this Houthi attack is enabled by Iran, as were all the other attacks as well.
That point being made by retired four-star general Jack King, also an analyst for Fox News, pointing out and acknowledging Iran is behind it, and he's glad to hear the White House finally make that statement through Jake Sullivan in the remarks you heard, and yesterday through the Defense Department, pointing out that we say Iran is enabling all of this. We've known that, but no one in the White House wanted to even breathe the word Iran in reference to what is happening. Now we're moving past that. But Jack Keane again says this is just the beginning step.
Let's follow up on the word enabled by Iran that Jake Sullivan suggested is behind all of this and hold them accountable. We have plenty of targets that Central Command can provide to the administration. I doubt they're going to do that, but it's something they should have done weeks ago when the Iraq and Syria proxies upped their game against the U.S. bases in the region.
Well,
but
I mean,
yes, the initial step with the task force is a move in the right direction.
I mean, does it feel to you like the U.S. and Iran are getting closer to some kind of an escalation here?
Well, I think the United States should escalate, in other words, to shut them down.
Right.
And yes, this is the calculation. Many people think, well, if you do, then we're leading to a war with Iran. But when you look at and analyze that 43-year Iran history, that's not the case. They use proxies because they don't want to be involved themselves. If they get directly involved with the United States, they lose their regime. They know that.
That
their escalation, I think, would be very minor because they want to avoid war with the United States.
Again, Jack King in that interview of Maria Bartiromo. And we know that from the past when Ronald Reagan, to stop some of the actions Iran was taking, started taking out some of their Navy ships. In fact, basically destroying the Iranian Navy. And they did nothing about it. But there is another player that's always been there but is now bigger on the stage than we had when Reagan was in office, and that's China. China is also enabling Iran to enable the others. And then, of course, we have the Ukraine situation with Russia. And back to Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor of the White House, saying we need that money and we need it yesterday.
Congress has to decide whether to continue to support the fight for freedom in Ukraine as part of the 50-nation coalition that President Biden has built, or whether Congress will ignore the lessons we've learned from history and let Putin prevail. It is that simple. It is that stark a choice. There is no magical pot of funding available to meet this moment. As Director Young said, we're running out of money, and we are nearly out of time.
Now, you might be interested to hear remarks again from the four-star retired general Jack Keane when it comes to Ukraine. You might have thought he would go one way, but his answer makes it clear as to why he thinks, why he does, and what he thinks should be done.
What American people have to understand, the reality is the center of gravity for Ukraine to be where they are today, their ability to defend against the Russian attack initially last year and to retake territory, 50% of the territory they've taken back, that's all due to U.S. and European assistance. If that stops, Putin wins. And guess who else wins? China wins, and so does Iran. That's the reality. We see now how joined at the hip these three countries are. We've got to take a look at a strategic view at this and recognize that U.S. vital interests are involved here. Putin will not stop if he prevails in Ukraine. We already see he has plans for Eastern Europe, and that would directly involve U.S. troops. Let's stop him now with Ukraine troops and our military assistance. It makes much more sense.
It does make sense, and we do not want U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine. Biden, of course, wants Ukraine money, but several members of Congress have insisted you're not going to have any deal regarding Ukraine money until we have legitimate efforts to close our border. We're going to have more on that coming up in the second hour. Also today, FBI Director Wray is in front of Congress trying to get more money, more power for the FBI. But past actions suggest the FBI is already out of control.
There was an FBI memo that went out in January of this year in the Richmond office, Richmond, Virginia, saying that Catholics who prefer the Latin Mass, and especially those who disagree with Vatican II, can be linked to right-wing, extremist, racist groups. This is very disturbing because basically, Catholics and other Christians and people of other faiths may believe in a pro-life stance. They may believe in a biblical marriage stance, whatever. And the people in power disagree with those. And so what they're doing is targeting conservative Christians as being hate groups.
Hate groups. Because they're Christian or Catholic, and the FBI was indicating, no, we weren't really doing that. Congressman Jim Jordan and his response.
Well, first they told us it was just one field office, the Richmond field office. Then we learned that, no, it was bigger than that. It was multiple field offices involved in this attack on pro-life Catholics. And now we learn, as you pointed out, Sean, that the FBI was talking to a priest and a choir director. Now, again, remember the larger context. This is the same FBI that spied on President Trump's campaign. This is the same FBI that censored Americans.
Yep, they've been censoring Americans. Censored the information about the laptop of Hunter Biden. And again, back to Congressman Jordan, why did they do it?
Remember when Joe Biden stood in front of Independence Hall and talked about how one half of the country is fascist? And it's this whole mindset. If you're pro-life, if you're a traditional Catholic, somehow you're radical. Somehow you're an extremist. Remember, this is part of the Justice Department that said if you're a mom and dad going to a school board meeting, you're an extremist as well. So this is the mindset. This is what's so scary. And this is why we don't want to give them more money for a new headquarters and why we've formed this committee to look at all the things they have done in this area and, of course, in the censorship area.
And I will remind you that coming up again in the next hour, we're going to have more on the battle for Ukraine money and FBI money and border money, and it's going to be a stalemate the way it stands now. And in the meantime, don't forget, $14.5 billion have been approved to go to Israel to help Israel. That's not moving forward. Because the Democrats, led by Chuck Schumer and this White House, say that's not a serious bill to give Israel $14.5 billion. Because you're not also including what we want for Ukraine. Yeah, we'll get into that more in the second hour. And as I mentioned, do not forget how the FBI made a point to cover up the Hunter Biden laptop and Joe Biden's business dealings right before the election last time around. And, of course, now we're seeing documentation coming out. Remember the whistleblowers, how they came forward, but not just with allegations, with actual documents.
Based on evidence released in this impeachment inquiry so far, number one, President Biden lied. Despite what he claimed, not only has evidence shown he was aware of his office being sold around the world to the benefit of his family, but following the trail of money, it now appears he was both directly involved and directly benefited from his son's business dealings.
Those are the words of Missouri Congressman Jason Smith. He's chairman of the government oversight, talking about how this investigation of Biden and Hunter and Joe might well be leading to impeachment of Joe Biden for that hearing. He named one of the points. He's got more to make.
Number two, Chairman Comer has revealed that President Biden himself, using fake names, attempted to hide his communications from public scrutiny. Number three, the Bidens moved an unimaginable sum of money amongst family members and papered it as loans from the International Bank of Joe Biden. The president's loans to family members raise serious red flags and should have resulted in reported interest income. Number four, Kevin Morris, acting as a special benefactor to the Biden family, paid at least $2 million in Hunter Biden's tax debts during a key time in 2020 when they would have been a huge political liability for the Biden campaign.
That would have hurt, along with the laptop information. Again, those are the words of Missouri Congressman Jason Smith, chair of the government oversight. I want to let you know of something that is breaking on Epic News right now. They're saying two New York law professors say they've identified sharp and unusual spike in short transactions prior to October 7. This is suggesting that short sellers, those who bet against a company when they expect the money and its value to fall, were aware of October 7 coming, and they were basically looking at Israeli stocks, anything connected to Israel, and looking to make money off of October 7. We'll have to explore that in more detail as it begins to break apart for us. Coming up in our next hour, more on the congressional investigations into the FBI and IRS actions, and plus more on Hunter Biden and President Biden and how they're all tied together, as you were hearing from Missouri Congressman Smith. And also, as you begin to look over the entire scenario, the entire issue laid out in front of you, the trust that has been lost in our government continues to deepen. And there's a good reason that Democrats now appear to be so very afraid of Republicans capturing both houses of Congress and the White House. Their reasoning? You already heard it expressed previously by Liz Cheney. You're going to hear it again in a minute. They're afraid that it'll be headed to a dictatorship, as if it's not already. My next guest explains. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number, I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, thunder, thunder.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You say Donald Trump, if he is reelected, it will be the end of the republic. What do you mean?
He's told us what he will do. It's very easy to see the steps that he will take. People who say, well, if he's elected, it's not that dangerous because we have all of these checks and balances, don't fully understand the extent to which the Republicans in Congress today have been co-opted. One of the things that we see happening today is a sort of a sleepwalking into a dictatorship.
Sleepwalking into dictatorship. Well, that'd be under the Biden administration, wouldn't it? My next guest is the senior editor for The Federalist, John Daniel Davidson. And John, welcome aboard again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Larry.
I love the title of the article you just put out. Democrats are afraid Trump will do to them what they have done to him. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. The clips you just played there made it really abundantly clear that what Democrats across the board are warning us about in a second Trump term is exactly what is unfolding right now under the Biden administration. The weaponization of the Justice Department, the weaponization of the federal bureaucracy, the disregard for the rule of law, the punishment of the party in power's political opponents. This is what the Biden administration has undertaken since day one, and it has been cheered on by a media establishment that did everything that they could to undermine the Trump presidency when Trump was in office. So for them to tell us that Trump is going to be some sort of dictator and trample the rule of law and shred the Constitution, all in the name of punishing his political opponents, when they have not a word to say about the Biden administration, right, is pure projection.
And on top of that, even as we speak, FBI Director Wray is in front of Congress, and the investigation of the House Oversight Committee continues with the IRS whistleblowers about what the Biden DOJ was doing to protect Hunter and Joe Biden, and yet supposedly Trump would try to run the government like a dictatorship.
Yeah, it's just insane. It's insulting to their readers and listeners and viewers for the corporate media to kind of peddle out this coordinated narrative. And it is coordinated. You noticed over the weekend and yesterday, it wasn't just one outlet or one writer here and there. It was a triple byline story at the New York Times. The entire January-February issue of the Atlantic magazine, Liz Cheney going on her book tour and hitting all the Sunday shows, Robert Kagan in the Washington Post, all these major corporate media establishment figures and institutions are all on board with this narrative that if Trump wins a second term, he's going to be a dictator and destroy the rule of law. Meanwhile, none of these people, as I say, have anything to say about the destruction of the rule of law and constitutional norms, not only under the Biden administration, but by the federal bureaucracy and by big tech and by the media itself under the Trump presidency.
Now, all of that becomes an echo chamber. We know that, and they just repeat the same thing over. They pick up one phrase, and they run with it, as you said, ad nauseum over and over. And to the extent, also, they actually expect the public to slobber it up?
I don't know if they expect the public to slobber it up or if this is part of sort of, in their minds, a long-running psyop to prepare the public for what they intend to do. In other words, if Trump does win election about a year from now, there's going to be a resistance movement on the left coordinated by Democrats and establishment institutions, across the board to disrupt his presidency, to disrupt civil society. It's going to make the Black Lives Matter protests of the summer of 2020 look like kids play.
Yeah.
And there's something more dangerous afoot here, too, that I mentioned in my piece that my editor, Molly Hemingway, said on Twitter the other day. This genre of scaremongering in the media about a Trump second term can fairly be called assassination prep. Because if you think that the Republic is in danger, then, well, what are you willing to do to stop it? You know, it's very reckless. It's very dangerous to engage in this kind of rhetoric. And the media is just doing it with gusto.
And not only gusto, I mean, they continue to find which button to push. You point out in your article that Jake Tapper was so apparently scared out of his wits by some of the Atlantic essays, started talking about women could be targeted under a Trump retribution presidency. Now, what the hell is that?
Well, you know, you just have to look at that Atlantic issue. You know, they sort of paint this parade of horribles, every imaginable bad thing that could happen in America, according to the liberal left mindset, will happen under Trump. Family separation, you know, the targeting of women, you know, the U.S. pulling out of NATO. In other words, all the things that, you know, Trump didn't really do in his first term, he's somehow going to, for some reason, he's going to do those things in his second term. And all of the adults in charge that constrained him from trampling the Constitution won't be around anymore. Well, from a conservative perspective, much of the Trump's first term was a failure precisely because there were people around him that didn't agree with his agenda and tried to thwart him at every turn.
Right.
Not only that, but the entire media establishment worked hand in glove with the federal bureaucracy to propagate the Russia collusion hoax in hopes of either getting him out of office or derailing his presidency. Trump was thwarted in that.
And as I've often pointed out to the audience, normally when a new president comes in, there's a bit of a honeymoon with the press, but the attacks and the knives were brought out that first night after it was clear he had won. And then you look at how the FBI covered up the Hunter Biden laptop, knowing it existed, knowing they had it in their possession, but selling the story to social media and others like the New York Times. Don't write anything about this. This is all part of a Russian collusion story.
That's right. That's right. And they needed that to be true because to them, the worst thing that Trump did was win the 2016 election.
Yeah.
That was not supposed to happen. They have worked hard and tirelessly since that time to ensure that it never happens again. The American people are not supposed to elect someone like Trump to the presidency. And the reason that these people, you know, these Jeffrey Goldbergs at The Atlantic and Jake Tapper at CNN and Liz Cheney and Robert Kagan at The Washington Post and all of the establishment figures from James Clapper to James Comey to Adam Schiff and the whole cast of characters in Washington, D.C. that have tried to derail Trump's presidency, they believe that power belongs to them,
yes,
not to the American people, and that they are the ones who will decide who gets to be in power in Washington and who gets to make the decisions. And the worst thing that ever happened to them was Trump winning the 2016 election, and they will stop at nothing to make sure that it never happens again.
You're listening to John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist, and last line of that column states everything. Remember that what they say Trump will do in the second term, they're doing right now, and you nailed it. John, you have a book coming out shortly after the first of the year, which I'm very interested in the title, and I'd like a little preview if you could help. Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come.
That's right. Thanks, Larry. The book comes out in late March, and essentially it's an argument that America only works if we are a Christian country, a predominantly Christian people. Self-government, rule of law, Republican constitutionalism are forms of government and a way of organizing society that is conducive only to a Christian mainstream culture. And the argument is that we are entering a post-Christian era. And as we enter a post-Christian era, we are going to lose our form of government because we are going to lose our way of life. And the things that we assumed would always be part of American life, like individual rights, individual liberty, rule of law, limited government,
all of freedom of religion, freedom of religion.
That's right. Freedom of religion, right to bear arms, the whole gamut of the, you know, Constitution and the Bill of Rights. All of that's going to go away because we are going to become a pagan society. And in a pagan society, the only thing that matters is power. And power makes right. And that's the world that we're walking into.
Well, you say the dark age to come. I'm not so sure we're not on the threshold even as we speak when I hear someone like Congresswoman Yahya Paul try to balance the horrific rapes of the Israeli women by Hamas against, oh, but look what Israel is doing to Gaza.
Yeah, that's right. You see this moral equivalency because what's the hallmark of paganism? People think paganism is like worshiping, you know, trees or worshiping, you know, Zeus or something. And that's not entirely what I mean when I say that we're entering a pagan America. What I mean is we're entering a world in which there is no objective morality. And that has always been a hallmark of paganism, because what makes something right is not an objective appeal to transcendent moral principles. What makes something right or wrong is only a matter of power. Does the powerful person have enough power to get away with it? And if they do, then it's right. And that's the pagan world, and that's the world we're walking into. So when you see Congress people making moral equivalencies between Hamas raping Israeli women and the IDF, you know, targeting urban areas, that's part of what you're seeing is the pagan mindset that doesn't distinguish any objective right and wrong, in this case, in a foreign war. But we see it here at home, too, all the time, and we're going to see more and more of it. This moral degeneracy and moral relativism that will come to define public life in America.
It will seep in as if this is routine and normal, accept it.
Yep.
John, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Larry.
You bet. John Daniel Davidson with The Federalist. The book will be titled, or is titled, Pagan America, The Decline of Christianity and the Dark Age to Come. We'll have him back on the air once that book comes out around March. Coming up, Liz Cheney is trying to make her own roads to the White House. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. We were talking about Liz Cheney as how she is proclaiming that if Trump should win, we're headed toward a dictatorship, which is exactly what we've been under Joe Biden and the administration, as much as he can get away with it. Controlling the FBI, the DOJ, da-da-da-da-da-da, everything. There were failures, as you heard John Daniel Davidson point out, that Trump had in the beginning as he took office, and in part because he is not a political animal. He didn't have the connections. He just wanted to go in and thought he could run the country like you do a business. You can't quite do that because you can't tell everybody what you want done, and they immediately do it or lose their job. And he trusted some people he probably should not have, and they were already part of the swamp water to begin with. But if you look at what was going on in the last 2 years of that presidency, how we had achieved basic full ability to support ourselves and be independent of any other nation when it came to oil and gas, and all the other things we achieved, including your prices, then it was a success. And it could have continued, but then it went upside down, based in part because of the deep state working together with state-controlled media to make up lies and bring out the Russian collusion story and everything that went with it. And, of course, you've got the January 6th event, which I told you they would use to beat Republicans forever. It will outlive the cockroach. And among those who served on the January 6th committee, only two Republicans. Not Republicans that the Republican Party wanted to put on the panel. No, Speaker of the House at that time, the witch, you know, she would not allow anyone on there but what she wanted. One of them being Kinzinger of Illinois, has an R behind his name, now out of Congress. And the other, also out of Congress now, Liz Cheney, with an R behind her name. So Liz Cheney is, again, one of these ones stating that there's no way Trump can win or should run again. He could not be trusted. So she is exploring a third-party 24 presidential bid. After losing Wyoming's congressional seat in the 2022 GOP primary by 40 points, she said, I'm willing to do it unless it will spoil Biden's chance to beat Trump. She said, if a third-party ticket would end up benefiting Trump, I will not do it. But she said, I certainly hope to play a role in ensuring that our nation has a new, fully conservative party. Liz Cheney is not really that conservative. But that's the way she's trying to push things. She was on MSNBC Morning Joe stating the Republican Party has walked away from the Constitution. On some Republicans, she's right, because they're not defending it as they should. But if they're truly conservative, and this is also going for independents, we want to defend the Constitution. Who is it who has talked about dismantling the Constitution? Hillary Clinton. Get rid of the Electoral College, otherwise I should be president. Who has talked about packing the Supreme Court because they don't like the rulings coming out of the court? You can go down that list and you're going to find Democrats and some who have an R behind their name that are not Republicans on the same list. And amongst, when you start looking at the Democrats and who they're counting on helping them out, that would be, of course, the black population. But the Democrats have been losing ground with black Americans, Asian Americans, Latino Americans. Why? Because they're smart enough to think for themselves. Too many times the Democrats have had the attitude that they'll vote however we tell them to. Let me show you how it's blowing up in the face in Chicago. As we had mentioned previously, there was a plan to build a tent encampment for up to 1,400 illegal migrants that are in Chicago. They came across our southern border. Why? Well, because it's open. Biden and the Democrats think if we get these folks in here, they'll vote for us. Well, they may or may not. That's assuming they're eligible to vote or they're willing to commit a crime to vote. They've already committed a crime entering our border. Why not go ahead and commit a crime to vote, even if they're not a true citizen? But in Chicago, this plan to put this tent city into Chicago's Brighton Park, a majority black area, is upsetting black leaders and residents in Chicago. The mayor, Brandon Johnson, black, of course, replaced Lori Lightfoot, who was black. And Johnson says, the problems I have here, I inherited from Lori Lightfoot. And he should also add Joe Biden. At least in New York City, Eric Adams is making it clear that Biden is to blame for all the illegals they have. But here's what's happening. A district representative of the plan for the mayor to build this tent complex right in the middle of their neighborhood without even holding a community meeting or discussion to bring forward as to how they might be able to accomplish it. She says there was no planning, nothing at all. They just suddenly said, we're going to put it in place right here, not even asking your permission. So now they're pointing out that they, in the Brighton Park area, say they will sue the city of Chicago, getting a temporary restraining order for that tent city. And at the hearing, it was also found out the city never even issued construction permits for the tent city. City is now arguing residents cannot hold the city accountable to follow its own zoning and building codes. What kind of nonsense is that? It is just pure nonsense, political nonsense. The Mayor Brandon Johnson administration basically saying, we don't have to follow our own building codes and laws. So if they're not going to be able to do it, they're not going to. The mayor's already recognized that many of the residents in that area do not want it. And the city of Chicago plans to spend $29 million to build this tent city in an area where they don't want it. A 9.5 acre site. And the state of Illinois says it's all about let it go. Let's let it happen. With a suit against the city saying the city has been dishonest, liars, untruthful, not transparent. And the lawyer representing the residents say we will keep them accountable. And if they do lie, we'll prove it. We'll put an end to it. So even those inside the Democrat Party are obviously beginning to recognize the open border policy has been a failure. That should come as no surprise. It should be no surprise. This is like you leaving your front door open to anyone who wants to come on into your house, eat your food, use your facilities, take whatever they want, and leave. It's not burglary. You've left the door open. Said, come on in. And that's what we've done at our border. And there's another story I'm going to get to in the second hour about more Chinese military-age men being gathered south of the border intending to come into our country. I want to emphasize to you again, these are not just defectors from China looking for asylum. If that many had defected, the Chinese government would know it, would know who they are, and they'd be going after members of their family they left behind. Now, we had been watching anti-Semitism rise across the nation. And it's on our college campuses and universities. House Speaker Mike Johnson says it is time, past time in my opinion, for presidents of these universities and colleges to be held accountable for allowing, maybe even inciting, anti-Semitism on their campuses.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This anti-Semitism has become all too common. It's turning to violence in some of these places. And the idea that university administrators would not speak out, would not take care of this problem is just beyond comprehension. You heard the harrowing tales of these students. We could parade many of them up here today to share their experiences from across the land, and it must stop. No Jewish student should feel unsafe going to class or congregating in public or professing their faith, Remember, this is not who we are as Americans. The first freedom that we are guaranteed in the Bill of Rights, in our Constitution, is the freedom of religion, the free exercise of religion. It's an essential component to who we are as Americans. And that's everyone's religion, even minority faiths.
Even minority faith. We cannot have anti-Semitism. We cannot have and incite anti-Christian attitudes, anti-Muslim, anti-Buddhist. We don't do that in this country under our Constitution. Everyone is welcome to practice their faith or no faith. But right now in Congress, they're holding the House Education Committee, holding a hearing throughout this day. They've been holding hearings with presidents of Harvard, University of Pennsylvania, and other universities on that very subject, that anti-Semitism has been increasing, escalating during the Hamas-Israeli war. Now, last month, the federal government did open civil rights investigations into seven schools and universities over allegations of anti-Semitism or Islamophobia since the outbreak of the Israeli-Hamas war. Neither one is acceptable to real Americans. Neither. The list includes three Ivy League institutions, Columbia, Cornell, the University of Pennsylvania, along with Wesley College in Massachusetts, Lafayette College in Pennsylvania, Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art in New York. It also includes one K-12 system, the Mays Unified School District in Kansas. So all of these inquiries the Education Department is taking forward, saying this is part of the Biden administration to take aggressive action against discrimination based apparently only on religion and based upon what they decide will be discrimination. Because obviously the Biden Department of Education is not doing anything about discrimination if you are a white heterosexual male. Nothing if you're discriminated against. In fact, there was a father that complained that he wanted to put up a gay pride flag of his own, but it was going to be called straight flag. It was going to feature stripes like our U.S. flag has, but also the emblems of man and woman on it. And it was denied because the administration said, well, that would not fit with our program of diversity and inclusion. How can you be educated to any extent and believe that when you're talking about diversity, inclusion, things of this nature, and yet you're telling others you can't be part of it, that you're accomplishing what you say you want to see done? You can't. Penn officials say, we're going to cooperate with the investigation. The university president said, we're making it clear anti-Semitism is vile, and we'll continue to combat it in all forms of hate. In a separate letter, one of the universities, a private women's college, said, we deny doing any wrongdoing, but we'll respond quickly and decisively to any we see. We have had students up and down the hallways of these colleges and universities and on the campus yelling out not just support PLO, but praising Hamas for what it did. If some of these same colleges and universities had some of their students at that rave beach party when Hamas attacked and had their students being held hostage or raped repeatedly to death, would they have this response? You know the answer. Coming up, FBI Director Wray under intense questioning, Senator Ted Cruz leading it. And, of course, don't forget more on how stockbrokers, some stock traders, I should say, were making money on the Israeli-Hamas war in advance of it happening. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.